Well, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to be in His house today. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 23. It's a wonderful weekend of witness, even in this nation. Good Friday, heading into Resurrection Sunday. Luke 23, beginning at verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. The people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And the inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It's criminal what they did to him, what they did to Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who came sent by the Father to rescue them, to pay their penalty, to ransom their souls. It's criminal what they did to him. Plotting against him, accusing him, betraying him, lies, and an unjust conviction. The "if you are" spirit. It's criminal what they did to him. The Son of God despised. the Son of God rejected by men, the Son of God interrogated and whipped and scourged. They spit in his face and struck him. A crown of thorns, a crown of twisted thorns thrust into his skull. And the mockery and the shouting, crucify him. It's criminal what they did to him. The crimes committed. And yet these fitting words, Genesis 50, verse 20, but as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it has this day, to save many people alive. In the words of the prophet, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Well, the time had come. It was part of the plan. Part of the mission. It was necessary. The time had come for the Son of God, Jesus, to be crucified, that the penalty for sin might be paid in full. In the Gospel of Luke, we are presented with the scene. Calvary, Skull Hill. And on the hill that day, three crosses. The innocent hanging between the guilty. Luke 23, verse 33, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Imagine hanging on a cross next to Jesus. Hanging next to the one who is dying for the very sins you are being crucified for. And for all the sins you have ever committed. It's one thing to fall into the hands of men. It's another to fall into the hands of a holy God. Faced with Jesus next to the Lamb of God, the atoning sacrifice, the Messiah. The innocent hung between the guilty. Two criminals hanging next to Jesus. Life slipping away. Life bleeding away. Their fate sealed. And the verdict, final. Eternity in the balance. And the weight, pride versus surrender. Cynicism versus belief. And now we hear two criminals speak. Criminal one. Verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Criminal two. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Honestly, this is a picture of humanity. Right there on Calvary, on Skull Hill, the scene of the crucifixion. A picture of humanity. This is how serious the scene is. This is how critical the times and the time. Life slipping away. Life bleeding away. Fate on the line. And the final verdict. Time running out. Eternity in the balance. And it all hinges on Jesus. A criminal on the left and a criminal on the right. And Jesus in the center. Criminal one carried on with his criminal activity. Criminal two acknowledged his state. Criminal one blasphemed. Criminal two rebuked the blasphemer. J.B. Phillips' New Testament, one of the criminals hanging there covered him with abuse and said, "Aren't you Christ? Why don't you save yourself and us?" But the other one checked him with his words. "Aren't you afraid of God even when you're getting the same punishment as he is? And it's fair enough for us, for we've only got what we deserve, but this man never did anything wrong in his life." Checked with words. Checkmate. Which criminal shall we be when faced with Jesus Christ? The reality of the cross close. The message of the cross. When face to face with Jesus crucified, this picture of humanity, Calvary, Skull Hill, the innocent hanging between the guilty. And the weights, pride versus surrender, cynicism versus belief. Eternity in the balance. And it all hinges on Jesus. Which criminal shall we be? The Voice Bible reads, one of the criminals joined in the cruel talk. Cynical criminal, "You're supposed to be the anointed one, right? Well, do it. Rescue yourself and us." And in the midst of it, wow. That's what Jesus was doing. Rescuing them. Saving them in this act. The greatest act of love. The criminal was blind. The other criminal told him to be quiet. Believing criminal, "Don't you have any fear of God at all? You're getting the same death sentence he is. We're getting what we deserve since we committed crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong at all." The Message paraphrased, one of the criminals hanging alongside cursed him. "Some Messiah you are. Save yourself. Save us." But the other one made him shut up. "Have you no fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this." Yes, we deserve. We deserve this, but not him. Which criminal? Only moments of living left for the two that hung next to the Christ. Life but a vapor. How would their dying moments be lived? How would their life finish for them? What would they do with the time they had left? How would they respond in this moment, the fleeting moments of life in the flesh? The cynical and the believing. Both these men could relate with this verse, literally, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. This was the reality for both criminals, and yet only one of them knew the entirety of the verse in the bleeding, passing moments of life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I mean, how real this must have been for the believing criminal. Hanging there beside Jesus, the innocent one, charged a criminal, that he might be forgiven his crimes. Hanging next to Jesus, Jesus giving himself for him. Both criminals addressed Jesus, but only one in right manner. Luke 23, beginning at verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Criminal too feared God that day. Do you not even fear God? He acknowledged his condemnation. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He acknowledged the innocence of Jesus. We receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he acknowledged Jesus as Lord. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Verse 43, and Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Every person born into this world has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all committed crimes against the holy God. We all have our record of criminal activity, our rap sheet. We may not be convicted of men, but outside of Jesus, we are convicted of God. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I wonder what the remaining moments of life were like for the criminal that became a believer. The criminal that was forgiven his crimes. And the truth is, if he would have been taken down from that cross and nursed back to health, he would have had a life to live for Jesus. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, the thief on the cross died that day. And as Jesus promised, he entered paradise. J.C. Ryle said these words, "One thief was saved, that no sinner might despair, but only one, that no sinner might presume." Billy Graham, "I'm not going to heaven because I have preached to great crowds or read the Bible many times. I'm going to heaven just like the thief on the cross who said in that last moment, 'Lord, remember me.'" It might be interesting to note that the thief on the cross could serve as a picture of the reality that salvation is not of works, but of the gift of God. The words of D.L. Moody, "The thief had nails through both hands so that he could not work, and a nail through each foot so that he could not run errands for the Lord. He could not lift a hand or a foot toward his salvation, and yet Christ offered him the gift of God, and he took it." Christ threw him a passport and took him into paradise. It's the scene of humanity. It's the picture of how serious it is. If the thief would have been granted more days on this side of eternity, there would have been works of salvation. It would have been necessary and right and fitting. For we read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Such beautiful words. The cross is the suffering love of God bearing the guilt of man's sin, which alone is able to melt the sinner's heart and bring him to repentance for salvation. And today, if you do not know him, may his goodness lead you to repentance. Luke 23, beginning at verse 44, "Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision, indeed, their criminal activity. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. It is finished. A criminal death for the crimes of humanity. The Lamb of God slain. But this story was far from over. Luke 24, beginning of verse 1, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of God, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest, to Mary." Yes, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told all these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. On the third, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. It's no idle tale. Who has believed our report? He is risen. The picture of humanity, just days before, Calvary Hill, Skull Hill, two criminals, and the innocent hanging between them. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 55, "Now Christ risen, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What hope we have should we be? The one that believes. The one that believes. For our Savior has won. Our Savior has overcome. Our Savior has loosed the bonds of death. For every criminal that would believe, for every criminal that would fear God, for every criminal that would acknowledge his condemnation, for every criminal that would declare the innocence of Jesus, and for every criminal that would take him as Lord. The words of Charles Spurgeon: "You all have a share in dying. There is a tree growing out of which your coffin will be made. Or perhaps it is already cut down and seasoning against the time when it shall make you a timber suit, the last suit that you shall ever need. There is a spot of earth that must be shoveled out for you to be laid into to fill up the vacuum. And your soul shall live. Your soul shall never die. Let not those who tell you of annihilation be believed for a moment. Must exist. Put it to yourself whether it shall be with the worm that never dieth and the fire that never shall be quenched, or with Christ, who liveth in his glory, and who shall come a second time to give glory to his people and raise their bodies like his own. Oh, it will all hinge on this. Dost thou believe in Jesus? If thou dost, thou mayest welcome life and welcome death and welcome resurrection and welcome immortality. But if thou believest not, then a blast has come upon thee. Into thee it is terrible to die. It is terrible even to live. More terrible to die. It will be terrible to rise again. It will be terrible to be damned, and that forever. I, God, save you from it, for Christ's sake. Amen. This is the message of the gospel, the good news of God. John 3:16. Perhaps you came in here today, this is the only verse you know, the only verse you've ever heard. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, for you, for criminal number two. And the reality is, he laid down his life for criminal number one. But criminal number one chose pride and cynicism, unbelief. Instead, he blasphemed. He said, what kind of a Messiah are you if you're the Christ? He had a spirit. If you are, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Those of this house that are believers know this well, that there is salvation in no other name. There is forgiveness in no other name. Reconciliation in no other name. We must choose which criminal we will be in this lifetime. And if we choose not to choose, we've indeed chosen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and you shall call his name Jesus, Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Perhaps you came in here today and you're not sure Jesus can handle you. You're not sure Jesus can handle your crimes, your rap sheet. Well, listen to these words. Come as you are. If you are the blackest soul out of hell, trust Christ, and that act of trust shall make you clean. This seems a simple thing, and yet it is the hardest thing in the world to bring you to it. So hard a thing that all the preachers that have ever preached cannot make a man believe in Christ. Though we put it as plainly as we can and plead with you, you only go away and say, it is too good to be true. Or else you despise it because it is so simple. For the gospel, like Christ, is despised and rejected of men because it has no form and comeliness and no beauty in it that they should desire it. Oh, may the Holy Ghost lay this home to you. May he make you willing in the day of his power. I hope he has. I trust he has. So that ere we go, we may all join in singing this one verse and then separate. A guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on Christ's kind arms I fall. He is my strength, my righteousness, my Jesus, and my all. Let all who will Come. Come to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And for all of us who believe, praise the Lord for his victory. Praise the Lord for salvation. Praise the Lord that sin and death and hell have been defeated. Praise him for the cross. Praise him for the empty tomb. And praise him for the promise of the second coming. And church, we've got a life to live. Titus 2, verses 13 and 14, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Let's live all our days honoring the redemptive work of Jesus. Let's have the worship team return today. We are living for the great day when our Savior returns. And should we pass from this life before the second coming, what hope we have. Concerning his appearing, what a day that will be. And I want to read to you today our last scripture out of Revelation 22, beginning at verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. And yes, one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then, as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. He is risen. Our Savior is overcome. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's the picture. Calvary's Hill, the innocent hanging between the guilty. Which criminal will you choose to be? Would you spurn pride today? Cynical calm and trade criminal activity for new creation life? Or for anyone in the house today, what do you need? Because Jesus is more than enough. This is Jesus.